Hello, and welcome to another one of our Fizzy Chats. In the Fizzy Chats, we talk to theatre makers from around the world who are working tirelessly to instigate change, cross borders, and create exciting new work. In this chat, we catch up with English Theatre Düsseldorf, which is run by an international team of three fabulous women. My name is Lily McLeish, and I'll be hosting this episode together with the lovely Tamara von Wertern. So today on our Fizzy Chat, we're really delighted to be talking with English Theatre Düsseldorf, Rosie Thorpe, Ilya Parenteau and Olivia Woodrow. And also with me today is Tamara von Wertern. And
hello.
Why don't we go in with you guys and you tell us a bit about who you are and just introduce yourselves very briefly. Maybe okay. We'll start with Rosie.
Yeah, perfect. So yeah, so my name is Rosie Thorpe and I'm originally from England, from Kent. And I moved here to the Düsseldorf area in 2015. And yeah, well, let's start with that. We'll throw around and then we can talk about how we came to be. I'm going to throw it to you, Ilya.
Hi, my name's Ilya Parenteau. I come from Chicago in the USA. I came to Europe in 1991. For a project that I did in Zurich, Switzerland, and then met my husband, moved to Berlin for 12 years, and I moved with my family to Düsseldorf in 2009 and have been here since.
And then
Yes, I'm Olivia, and I also moved to Düsseldorf in 2009, but I moved because of my dad's job. I was 12 and I lived there, and then I'm now back in the UK where I was born to do my master's degree alongside working for English Theatre Düsseldorf.
Which I think is very important to explain what your master's degree is. It's very, very interesting. And both Ilya and I are very jealous that we're not doing it.
And very excited for you, really.
It's been amazing. Yes, and my master's is in arts and cultural management. So yes, been able to tie in a lot of really interesting things from the course to the work that we're practically doing, which is amazing. It's a really, really, really cool experience.
And we, it's important that Ilya and I say that we are also learning a lot from Olivia. So, it's been a very refreshing experience for all of us. And we're very, very grateful of the team dynamic that we have. So maybe I could just tell you, or I can start at least, and Ilya, you can jump in at any point to tell you both a little bit about how we got started. Yeah, as I explained, I came over here in 2015 and I had finished my training as an actor back in 2010. And the majority of the work that I was doing before I moved here was touring theatre around Europe. And this sort of really got me excited about this idea of performing English-speaking theatre to non-native audiences. It's almost because they don't take it for granted, I think, and it's the language as well that you don't take for granted, and it's learning about a different theatre culture that's also very interesting for these different audiences. And I guess part of the job for me of touring around Europe was not only the work, but also getting to explore different countries, and that was fun. So anyway, when I came here in 2015, I wanted to try to carry on with performing and with theatre and couldn't speak the language at the time, and so thought to myself, okay, if you can't find the work, then let's make the work. But I didn't want to do it on my own. I had no idea what I was doing, and met Ilya along the way, who obviously is also an actor, professional actor, and sort of explained my crazy ideas that I wanted to try to get something off the ground, or maybe let's just put a play on and see if there's any interest out there. And I was very grateful that Ilya liked the idea, was excited by the idea, and so that's basically what we did. We sort of tested the waters unofficially, not as a company at that point, in 2017, with a very small production. Realized that there was a taste and a flavor for English speaking theatre here in Düsseldorf, and then decided, okay, let's take the leap and become a company. And then from January 2018, we got going with several small productions over the course of that year and then into the next year. And that's then when we met Olivia in 2019. And we were very excited to have Olivia join us. Olivia started with us on the educational side of things, which maybe Ilya can talk about in a minute, that we've got these two branches of the company, but is now very much supporting us on the production side of the team, which is very exciting. So yeah, so Ilya, maybe you can tell the ladies a bit about the two branches, the two stems of the company.
Yeah, well, I think by the time Rosie came into my life, I had already, I was in the process of raising two young men who are now in college. So I was looking as an empty nester, soon to be, as to what I was going to do with my life after that. And then entered Rosie into my life very much in the same way as I did. She had fallen in love with a German man who is now her husband, and that is the story that I followed. That love brought me here to Düsseldorf as well. And after I had been performing, and I did perform with an English theater company in Berlin for children. It was a children's theater company called Platypus. And by doing children's theater, we were also offering workshops for schools. Mm-hmm. So they would come see the show, we would give workshops, and that's kind of how I started working with young people. Also through my children, when they entered kindergarten, I started singing nursery rhymes with the German kids in English. And that's kind of how my English training in theater began. I started in kindergarten, followed my children through high school, and found myself in the Theaterpädagogik corner of theater. I was teaching theater in schools, which was fabulous. Yes, came Rosie, said, let's start a theater company. That was a process of a couple of years of having coffees and talking about it. But it was really Rosie who encouraged me. And she found me through one of the directors of this theater company that I had been working with in Berlin. And yeah, there was just one afternoon that Rosie kind of said, come on, Ilya, let's do this. So at that point, I think I was sort of finished with teaching. I wanted to get back into performing because that's where I'd started as an actress. And she said, you know, we don't have to do the workshops. We can get other people to work for us. And so then this sort of idea came of splitting. We had our dream to do theater productions and to get back on stage. Mm-hmm. And the practical, you know, how are we going to make this a business that maybe we could actually survive and this could be our income and we could live on this idea to make it a business. And so we had these two, we had the education side and we had the performance side. And as a matter of fact, the education side is the only way that we are able to generate any kind of income. The performances are all about trying to find funding. And then I guess I can go to Olivia now because she, in the meantime, sort of took over the whole education department side of our business, which has been amazing because we have been able to do these two, you know, follow our dream to perform, or, you know, I've been more directing, which was as a matter of fact, never my dream, but has been an extremely exciting, empowering experience. And we have the education running at the side. And every once in a while, I can jump in and do a workshop too, which is really fun. But yeah, Olivia, maybe you can talk more about how you are involved in all of that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, as you said, I think watching the education part of ETD grow so enormously the past few years has been brilliant. I think we've expanded. I can't remember how many weekly courses we're running at the time, but I think maybe three by the time I started, two or three maybe. Yeah, and we now have, I think, 9 or 10 weekly courses that we run from like tinies, like parents and toddlers, up to adults. And yeah, it's been fantastic to have that, like the regular participation, and kind of massively expand our sort of community in the city of people who join our courses. And it's really, really nice. And how many workshop leaders we have too. And then also to develop our school workshop program to become quite sort of the place that a lot of schools now turn if they want an English theatre workshop. And it's really fantastic, I think, to be able to sort of like bring this to schools. And I think I really like the way that we work, in that we work very collaboratively with our workshop leaders and with the schools to kind of find the right fit, the themes for workshops, for schools, and also if workshop leaders have ideas of things they want to run, we're really always very open to trialing new one-off workshops or new courses and just seeing what people want to come to. We also take a lot of feedback from our attendees. We had feedback that people, some of our adults wanted a year-long performing course that ended in a much bigger performance than they normally did, and we thought, yeah, let's give it a try, and now that's what's running. So I think it's very much been always a collaborative like discussion process. We're always willing to give something a try because we want to be able to offer what people want and also what our workshop leaders like want to teach. Yeah, and it's really, really fun to also have such an international range of workshop leaders and everyone we meet sort of saying, oh, it's nice to find a home of sort of English language theatre where they can teach. And yeah, I feel like it's grown so much in the last few years, and it's really cool.
I think it's also kind of connected a lot of the international community, which I think is what a lot of these, when I think about the different associations out there, that's, what is so helpful is a lot of people come here maybe for work or because they've, met a partner and fallen in love, and they're looking to connect with other English-speaking people, and whether that is, going out for a meet up at the pub or, or something else. I think this idea that some people have an interest in theatre but also in an interest in making new friends is such a lovely thing. And often with our adult courses, we've had it several times that the entire course of 10 participants or, 8 participants is made up of people from different countries, and that's just so exciting that all these people, come from different cultures and backgrounds but all have this one joined interest of theatre but also communicating in English and making new friends, which is just so nice that we can be able to provide that platform.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about Düsseldorf, isn't it? It's a hugely international.
And I mean, Olivia, sorry, Tamara.
Oh, no, it's fine. I also just wanted to say it sounds amazing. And as an expat in England, coming from Germany, I kind of wish that a similar thing had existed here. There was a German theatre company at my university, which I was part of. But there is something about having a bigger organisation that also has, it sounds very much like your audiences are very mixed. So you have Germans who want to be exposed to English or learn English, maybe also at school's level. And then you also have English speaking people who want to connect with that community. So that seems like a really successful business model. And also, I'm so impressed because, of course, we also always come up as theatre makers against the difficulties getting funding together. It's really hard at the moment. And it is very clever to find a way of kind of having one leg of the business that really gives back to the community, but also supports you to keep going and develop the work that you want to do. And I think that's really impressive. Do you know anything much about other English theatres in Germany? Are you quite unique with that model, or is that something other English theatres are also doing?
I mean, we know of the main English-speaking theatres here in Germany, the one in Hamburg and the one in Frankfurt, and I know there's one in Berlin as well. Ilya's had some nice contact in the past with English Theatre Frankfurt, and I know that Olivia, you mentioned at your time at school that you had some workshops with the English Theatre Frankfurt, so I know that they run an education program alongside their shows, but I'm not sure about the others, I have to say.
I'm not sure about Hamburg, but I know that in Berlin they do, and that's really grown over the last couple of years. When I had met Rosie, I had a trip to Berlin where I did meet the director of the theater company there. And I have the impression between that meeting that I had with him and now, they have really developed also. They do much more experimental things and original works than we do. I don't know, we're doing again, we kind of, this play that we're doing currently kind of fell in our laps. It's again a little bit like the education process. It's like, what do our people want to see? What are our audiences interested in seeing? And that sometimes gets us in trouble with funding, because we're not fitting into, the experimental drawer or the German drawer, or, we're not finding the right pots where we fit to get that kind of support. But yes, we are trying to support our community, and still we see ourselves as a professional theater company and not as a social volunteer, helping the community in need. I think also the city kind of views us as a rather privileged community. The international community that is here is also for business or in the international schools. They are people with education and maybe they're very they're people who are very socially engaged, and but they we do need support, but I think they see us as that we are kind of privileged, and maybe we don't need that kind of support, which we absolutely do.
What is the kind of work that you're making or interested in making? Maybe you can tell us a bit about that.
You really started with, what play have you never done that you really want to do? Which roles have you not played and you want to act in this play? That's kind of where we started at. And as producers, of course, that's a privilege we have. It's like, well, what show do you want to do? I don't know. What show do you want to do? We've been doing plays by not even specific playwrights. We began with the idea of we wanted to do English theater. What does that mean? What would set us apart from the other theaters in the community? So we wanted to be English, and we thought if we're English, let's start with the language. Let's have it be real British actors or American actors or Canadian actors who have the accents from their home countries. We thought that would be an attractive way to start. As we continued doing shows here and having more contact with the international community, but also as locals. We've lived here for a while now, and this is our home. We're speaking German all day long with Germans. And, we had a lot of German actors be interested in what we were doing, and said, God, we would really, my accent, is it, I can, it's not so bad. And we thought, is this really a terrible thing to have a German accent? I mean, why? We are an international community, so we should reflect that also in the language and the performers that we have. And we started thinking that, well, maybe it's even interesting if they all have different English accents from wherever they're from. We th started, that was in Romeo and Juliet. Again, it's an English play. It's Shakespeare. We didn't want to, I guess, we don't like the idea of directors like manipulating a piece and it becoming about the directors having some incredible vision, or, we want to be true to the text. We want it to be, yes, as the playwright intended. And so perhaps that's not experimental enough, but I mean, within that, you can do, there's so much freedom to find creative solutions as a director. Anyway, we're very open. We're very open. We want it to be from an English playwright. I think that's important, but however we present that now is we've become more and more open to, yeah, we are developing too. We are changing as people come and join us with our ideas of what we want to do. So
But
we're very open.
I think what we've learned though over the years, it hasn't been that many years, but just this, like Ilya said, it's this balance between things that we've always wanted to do, which is obviously, as you both know, is the exciting thing about having your own company, is that you can be a little bit selfish and say, this has always been my dream, and so let's go for it. But on the other hand, it's about thinking about your audience and what your audience wants to see. And I think that's where some things have worked for us successfully, and some things, I don't want to say less successfully, let's say some things have sold better than others. And I think if I take, for example, we had this fantastic opportunity in 2019 to almost cooperate with, it's no longer there, but the Komödie an der Steinstraße, which was a boulevard theater, which, to be honest, none of us really knew or understood what boulevard theater was. They had this beautiful theater space, and they had told us that they will be doing The Mousetrap in German, and might it be interesting for us if we share the set that we could then do The Mousetrap in English? And so we essentially shared the set, but did two very different interpretations of the same play on different nights of the week. And
A great
that was,
idea, yeah.
yeah, it was really, I
I
mean, for
just
us, it
would
was incredible.
just to add though, actually it was our idea. We were looking for a place to go. They were doing the Mousetrap, and we thought they're doing it in German. If we could just use the set and do it in English, and they were open to this idea, which was amazing. And then it kind of came out later that people were like, wow, what an amazing idea. Why, how to be sustainable, to share a set, or, and to do it in two different languages, or two different interpretations of the same play. It could even be in the same language with different directors. But yeah, I mean, for us, that was just an incredible jump forward in the way we were able to present ourselves, to have this professionally made set and to be able to have our professional actors act inside of it. It was Really great.
How did
Yeah,
that work with the audiences? Did they buy tickets for both? What sort of,
yes. That
yeah.
was what I think it, we almost that if I remember correctly, there was some kind of package price. You could buy a ticket for both and get, I don't know, 10 euros off or something. But yeah, I think for some people they were genuinely interested to compare on the approaches and the outcomes of these two productions. But that particular play, because it is so successful in the West End, sold so well. We hadn't really prepared ourselves for that or thought about the fact that, yeah, of course, that makes sense. So I think, yeah, what we're slowly realizing is on the one hand, it's important to pick things that we want to do and that we'd like to explore. But on the other hand, it's about thinking about what's going to sell, what our audiences are going to be interested in, and yeah, finding that balance. And obviously with Belfast Girls, which is the play that we're currently working on, which we'll be performing, yeah, in a couple of weeks from the 14th to the 24th of March at the Weltkunstsammer, is that this was a piece that the playwright actually reached out to us about, and it tied in perfectly with this opportunity of being part of Zeitgeist Irland Vierundzwanzig. But again, this is a piece of relatively new writing that a lot of people haven't heard of before. We didn't know the play beforehand. And so, yes, this could well also be something where some people say, oh, I'm not sure whether I want to come because I haven't heard of it. Whereas on the other hand, some people will go, oh, well, that sounds very interesting. I've never heard of that before. Let's go and watch it. So, yeah, it's tricky. It's trying to find the balance between something that we want to do that excites us, but also something that we think our audiences are going to enjoy.
Yeah, I think it's also, it is an additional thing to consider. I mean, I know, going to see German productions, I feel more confident going to see them if I know the story already, or if I know about the piece. So you can understand if people are watching it in a second or third language, that there is a bit more hesitation, also a lot more excitement for people who do take the risk, and a lot more an opportunity. But definitely some, we have to sort of contend with, I think, the fact that, there's kind of a double level of apprehension that some people might have. Not everyone, we obviously have people who do love that experience. But yeah, I think it's just a kind of a factor with the additional language element,
Absolutely. I mean, it's something that I, based in Cologne, I'm often thinking because I'd love to make a lot of work in English, and I'm always a bit sort of nervous about, how easy audiences would find that. And I mean, not to say that Germans are really good at speaking English. I mean, it's like a lot of Germans are really, really good at it. It's not like if we did a German theatre in England and a lot of English people would just suck at German. Sorry if I've offended anybody, but it is like Germans are really good at English. And but still, I have sort of thought about doing stuff and gone, oh, maybe I should just do it in German with some German actors. But yeah, the wish or the sort of longing to do work in English is huge. And I'm really, that's why I was really pleased to see that, you've got your company is running and doing some exciting things. And it's really good to hear that you have got, a good community and audiences. And I mean, you touched upon it a tiny bit, sort of the challenges of making the work in Germany because the funding bodies don't really get it. Do you think that is partly because of the language thing? That do you think it's because it's English?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I also think it's also, I mean, as a mother who has raised two sons in the German system, school system, what I realize is, my son started in second grade with English as a second language. And by the time all of the kids, in their classmates, by the time they reach 10th grade, their English is really good because English is second language, it's required. And then if they go on to 11th and 12th, by the time they've done their Abitur and they've had their oral exams, their English is better than some native speakers.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think what happens is by the time we get to the people who are looking at our applications, this is a different generation. They're older and they didn't have the same English training in school. And so they look at our contract, they look at our application and they say, but it's in English. Nobody understands that. And they don't understand that the younger generation does speak English and they do understand it. And I think that's part of it too.
Which I also think is ironic at times because at the moment they're really trying to encourage international work. There are many funding applications out there to support international projects, cultural collaboration and cooperation between different countries. And to me, that almost just doesn't make sense. If you want to promote and encourage that, or if you've been told by those higher up, come on, we need to put it out there that we're trying to support bringing countries together and putting international theatre on, then actually we should really be fitting into those boxes. Yeah. And so that's what we partly don't understand, is that some places are saying, you might have a limited audience if you're offering that in English. But on the other hand, many of these institutions are being forced, I would think, forced to put out applications that encourage bringing countries together. So it almost just makes it more frustrating for us that we feel like we're actually here at the right time for putting in applications,
absolutely,
but still getting rejections. So
from maybe my perspective, I think it's sort of less about the sort of English language thing and more about the process of how we work. I think it's quite British in sort of how we navigate our rehearsal process and our development, and then how we do our sort of production run, really. I think we have, I would say, sort of a fairly conventional rehearsal process, and we you know allocate our weeks of rehearsal, and we sort of have our script and we work from it, and then we do a production run for a few weeks or however long it might be. Whereas, you know, we were talking recently about sort of, you know, I think it's evolving in the funding applications, but a lot of them are very process based, and, you know, how are they going to devise and develop work and research within sort of the development phase, whereas obviously that's always part of the process. But it was more, I think, a lot of the funding applications we were finding are very process based rather than really what's actually produced at the end or how many maybe people even engage with it at the end. It's more about the development, which I think there is 100% a space for that, and it's super important, but we just work a bit differently, and we are, I think we care a lot about how many people come to see our work and who get the opportunity to engage with it. And I think the type of work that we choose to do is less, you know, experimental and developmental, so it's less needed in the rehearsal process. And then also we do a couple of weeks run, whereas, you know, yeah, as we were saying the other day, you know, the Schauspiel House do a couple of performances of a show, then they wait a few, you know, few weeks and do some others, and then it comes back around again. But you know, yeah, for funding, sustainability, all of those kind of reasons, we don't work that way. We do a sort of a concentrated run of some performances, and I think also that is an adjustment for some audiences who aren't used to that, or it's just a bit different. And I think that I find maybe is more tricky than actually the English language thing, because I do think people are interested in that. I think it's just maybe more sort of challenging for us because of how we work. Maybe, I don't know if Ian,
I think it's also difficult because, you know, we work with scripts and we work with known titles, and I think that can often be a problem as well for funding institutions, that we should be coming up with our own projects and our own titles and our own names, whereas we would prefer to take an already scripted piece and then interpret that into our own way. And I know that sometimes I think is not necessarily always seen as the most artistic approach from the German perspective, which, you know, the three of us can't understand, because that is our training. That's what we've learned, is that you take a play and you interpret that as an actor or as a director, and that, you know, every single actor or director or producer or set designer or costume maker will always create an entirely different version of that one play. And it's just, we think it couldn't be more artistic, but that's just what I think the clash that we're dealing with here is. It's approached in a different way.
Yeah, I think it's just we need to find the place that kind of support that, really, because I firmly believe that the work that's being made in that sort of development process, there's absolutely like room and space for that, and there should be, because that's how some artists want to work, and that's amazing. It's just not quite what we're doing, and we do want to do something different, and what we know is just finding kind of how we go about like financially supporting that is the challenge that we're having.
As with a British company and doing it in a sort of one in the very British, you know, the setup of your rehearsals and sort of how you sort of go about it, and then being in a German environment where the theatre tradition is possibly quite different, and just the making, theatre making, the setup. I mean, we've spoken about this in different episodes, but the setup of German theatre, just from just who you have in the room to, you know, whose voice you're following or vision you're following. And it's just very, very different. But I think there's totally a room for that in Germany. In a way, it's great because you don't have that as much, and it should be funded as much as anything.
But it's also always really difficult to understand the funding process and sort of the culture within, you said, if it's not the culture you grew up in. And I think my experience of the funding process in the UK, not really having lived in Germany for long enough when it was something I was doing there. But it also gives me the impression that the Arts Council is set up to support projects that are British or that are happening in Britain, or that have to have a certain percentage of the artists involved, because that's the Arts Council of Great Britain, which is fair enough. But when you're sitting sort of between the cultures and you're sitting between the countries, sort of where do you go to? Because you're sort of both. And I think there needs to be a change in thinking from their side as well, or from the side of the funders, because they can't have it both ways. They can't say we're supporting international work, but we're not giving any money to international work because it doesn't fit into either the German system or the British system. And I think that is something that, well, it's just sort of a process where we're all working towards maybe also finding the language, how we can present it so that it makes sense within that system. And I think that that's quite a big challenge. But what I also wanted to say, when you said, you're open to reading great new writing from England, we are on the Fizzy Sherbet podcast. So hi, Fizzies. And there's some brilliant writing out there. And I know that for a lot of playwrights who are located in the UK and who write in English, they might not even think beyond the borders. And this is really what we're doing, and what we want to do is also just sort of to open minds a little bit and to say, well, there are quite a lot of English theatres across Europe, and it might be worth just sort of keeping an ear out. What are they doing? What kind of theatre do they program? Would I fit in anywhere? And to just approach them as well, as you were approached with the latest play, which is very exciting, with Belfast Girls.
Absolutely,
So yeah, I
absolutely.
just wanted to say that
No,
because
I think that's a very important point. And the three of us, we're very open as well. We've spoken with Lily before about this idea of, open play readings or rehearsed play readings. Yeah, if there are playwrights out there that would be interested in at least having their work read out loud, these kinds of opportunities we're very open to. And they're enjoyable. They can also be done over Zoom, if we're connecting from different countries, and that's always exciting. One never really knows what their play is going to sound like until you have people reading it out loud. And what a great opportunity to be able to support other artists, or to support playwrights by being able to offer that. So we're open.
Yeah, I think also it's just worth clarifying that I think we, well, people who write in English, they don't have to be English playwrights, just to be clear.
Absolutely, yeah.
Obviously, I would say most of the productions we have are, Jackie is Irish, and who's written Belfast Girls, and yeah, so just people who write in the English language, I think, just to.
Germans who write in English, maybe as well.
Yes,
Yeah,
why
little plug there.
I would say
Great.
yes. Yeah,
Absolutely.
absolutely. Absolutely.
When we chatted recently, what I thought was really interesting is that you mainly work with, when you work with actors, you're mainly working with international actors living in Germany. Is that right? In Düsseldorf, or you're not like, so I suppose, as a comparison, the English theatre in Frankfurt is known to rehearse in Britain and to bring their actors who are based in England over to Frankfurt for a run and then take them back again. And whereas with you, it's quite different. You're basically working with internationally based artists in Düsseldorf or surrounding area.
This is actually how
Partly
we, yeah,
true.
this is how we started. Yeah. We started with, as locals and looking for work for ourselves, we tried to see who else was in the community that we could share and collaborate with. As we grew and people started to get to know about us, this particular project, it was the Irish Embassy in Berlin who called us and said, we have funding through Culture Ireland to make Irish culture present in Germany in 2024. Would you be interested? And we applied for this funding, received a grant to bring only to bring any actors that we found to Düsseldorf, to Germany, to perform in this Irish play. And so this was an opportunity where through Zoom we had auditions, and we have now an actor from the USA, one from Ireland, one from England, and one from Australia. This is not our usual way of working, but it's an incredible opportunity to have that kind of reach. And the talent that we had was just incredibly, it was amazing. We just it was the hardest casting process we ever had, trying to figure out which ones to choose because they were all amazing.
Yeah,
But
that sounds
yes,
great. I love it. And have you been rehearsing on Zoom, or is everyone in Düsseldorf now?
everyone's here now, yes, which is exciting. They arrived on the weekend of the 17th, 18th of February, and then we had a welcome dinner, which was a lovely opportunity to get to know each other before the work starts. And then, Ilya, who is directing the production, started rehearsals with them on the 19th of February.
Fantastic. I love that they're from all different countries. I love it.
It's fascinating. And their relationship to this play, it's an Irish play. It's a story that actually happened in the 1850s. And each of them have a very personal connection to the history of this play, of ancestors that they have that, yes, were part of the famine and who might have, not sure, but they all immigrated to different places. The lady from Australia, she's Irish too, and she's part of that in some way. And yeah, even myself growing up in Chicago, I grew up in an Irish Catholic neighborhood and had to look at my mother's side of the family and realize, yes, we were part of that, maybe not exactly in 1850, but a little bit later we ended up in Canada and moved down to Chicago. And we're all part of that huge immigration wave that happened right before the Industrial Revolution.
So it's quite a poignant play as well for you as immigrants to Germany to put on and sort of share with all these people who might have started their life in a different place and are now living where you are.
Absolutely. That's our entire community here. None of us are native Düsseldorfers, but this is our home now, some of us. And yeah, I would say that most of the people that we work with are immigrants of some sort.
Yeah, no, I think absolutely. I think the piece, Belfast Girl specifically, it's talking about a very important and, painful time in Irish history, but and it's important to discuss that. But also in terms of its present day relevance, it's very much about migration. And I think that's what's so interesting, having an international cast with their own experiences of it, and within the team, the creative team too. I think it's, and with our wider audience, it's absolutely the theme that resonates, and that experience of people journeying to new places, and also, very politically re relevant in our current climate, and very important to, I think, be a positive voice in a sort of a narrative that's very much rooted in like fear and anger and hatred. I think it's very important that we acknowledge these journeys that people make and honor them, I think. So yeah, I think it's a really interesting piece, and I think, yeah, resonates with all of us, and I think well with our audiences too, hopefully.
Great. And how can you get tickets?
So tickets are available on our website at www.english-theatre-düsseldorf/tickets. And yes, that will take you straight to our ticketing page, whereby you can buy them online. And if you have any problems, you can always email us and we'll help. No problem.
We're very excited to see it. I'm going to see it because I don't live very far away. So, second to last question that I have for you, because I know that sort of you're, well, not totally fresh company, actually. You've been around for a couple of years, but what are your sort of hopes and dreams? Where are you going with your company? What would your wish be?
I think my wish for the future for English Theatre Düsseldorf would be that we eventually find our own theatre space here in the city of Düsseldorf, that we have our own rehearsal space that is separate from our performing space, that we could rehearse our pieces, a space that we could do our theatre workshops and courses, maybe have a community cafe where everyone could hang out after the show and exchange ideas. When I look at the theatre, English Theatre Frankfurt, they've been around for 40 years. And in fact, they had a huge crisis just in the last couple of years where they almost lost their space. which made me very worried. All of us, we thought if they're going to go under, we don't have a chance. But they have in the last, just very recently, in the last few months, managed to turn that curve. They will remain in that space and they will thrive. And they are doing what we hope to achieve one day, that we will have that kind of a home here in Düsseldorf for theater. And what would be even more lovely is if we could have a network of English theaters in Germany. We would love to be a place where we could make a piece and that perhaps it could travel to Hamburg and then to Berlin and then to Frankfurt. And if we could rotate pieces, I don't know. This is a big dream, but I think for our community, that would be beautiful.
I think it's a great idea and really sustainable as well, sort of really solid idea, I think, as well. And it would be fantastic for audiences, I think.
Olivia,
Just as
any
a way
thoughts
to
for you?
connect.
Oh, well, I mean, it's Ilya and Rosie's company, and I've been very, very lucky to have learned so much from the time that I've been a part of it. It really has been just an amazing experience to very early on in my career. It sounds very funny to say career, but very early on in my life to have been given so many opportunities to try things and learn and take on new responsibilities. It really, and I'm immensely grateful to both of you. I think my dream has always, well, as Ilya mentioned, when I was in school at the International School of Düsseldorf, we went to English Theatre Frankfurt on a trip to watch a production and do some workshops. And I had the most incredible theatre teacher at the school who we all know, Romeo Bryant. And he's very much the reason I work with English Theatre Düsseldorf, because he told me about them and put me in touch. And he was an amazing person and an amazing teacher. And I always hoped that I still hope that, that trip that we did in 10th grade, they won't need to go to Frankfurt anymore. The schools can, the International School of Düsseldorf and all of the schools in the area can come to right there in the city to watch English theatre and do a workshop with us. And I agree. And if it was in our space and in a place where we could, host school performances and workshops in our location, that would be amazing. And I would like to do that for us and for Mr. Bryant. So yeah, that's my
Can I,
I
I'm sorry, Rosie, just before you jump in, can I just also
think.
say from Romeo Bryant, when Rosie approached me and she wanted to start this company, it was Rosie's idea. But I don't think I would have jumped in and tried to do it if it wasn't for Romeo Bryant, because he was, I can say, he was for me a mentor. He is someone who discovered us, was excited about what we were doing. I was terrified. I said, "This young woman wants to start a company. I have no idea how to do this." And he said, "Just do it. Just do it." And without that nudge, and he was behind us the whole time when we were starting, I wouldn't have trusted myself. And without Rosie, this wouldn't have happened at all. So, and without you, Olivia,
We wouldn't be where we
we
are
would be
now, certainly not.
lost. Thank you
Yeah,
so
that's
much,
very
really.
true.
They're amazing. Anyway.
No, and I would just like to just to add to that that I think it's important that we to say, to listeners that are out there that we know that we can't potentially achieve this space on our own. We're open to collaboration, we're open to sharing spaces, and we think that this is also an exciting opportunity for international theatre groups or artistic groups out there to come together, and maybe that we can form some kind of cultural international hub here in the city. Everybody's looking for a space and there just aren't any, and in order to kind of lighten the load for everybody, why not come together and see if we can form something as a cultural team in the city? So, yeah, if there is anyone out there that is listening, that is interested, we'd love to hear from you. And the final thing that I would like to add, as being one of my sort of goals and dreams for this company, is something that we have begun already here in the city, which is Shakespeare am Rhein, which is our outdoor theatre Shakespeare project that we started in 2022. Was very successful, more successful than we realized it would be, and we really had hoped that it would be a yearly event, and still feel extremely strongly that it could be a huge hugely positive addition to the city of Düsseldorf to offer authentic English-speaking professional Shakespeare performances at a castle ruins, you know, once a year in the summer. But it simply is that we just do not have the funding for it. And so, yeah, again, we're open to ideas to anybody that's out there that we would love to make this a permanent addition to the city. And that will be one of our goals to work towards over the next few years to see whether we can make that possible.
Oh, fingers crossed. It all sounds absolutely brilliant. And I really hope you do. And I'll be sending stuff your way. Any chance I get, sort of, when I think you'll come across stuff, of course, I'll send stuff your way.
Thank you.
It is such a tricky climate at the moment with arts funding. I mean, I think that I was talking to Tamara about it in the UK. It's pretty bleak, and here it's unfortunately not much better.
It's true. And it's a difficult one. We just don't know, you know, one doesn't know how long one should keep fighting, and new opportunities always arise, and that keeps us going on that treadmill. But it's becoming increasingly more difficult.
I mean, all the more important to have, sort of, as you were sort of describing at the beginning, these two branches to your company, and sort of think sideways about how you can create opportunities through and how you can generate funding that isn't dependent on these funding bodies that either don't get the work or don't have the money to just fund enough companies. And all the more important to find, maybe, you know, they're sometimes, it's just very hard at the moment. I think, like, the money everywhere has become very tight, and especially then the first thing to go is kind of what it feels like is funding for the arts.
Yeah, agreed.
But I think the idea with the hub sounds amazing. And I think that's a really special way as well to be open to that and to reach out to other people and to try to create something that is shared, which I think is a really great idea.
We hope so. We'll see. We just have to find a space. And unfortunately, in Düsseldorf, they are few and far between, from what we've understood anyway. We're hoping that at some point something will come up. But we could be waiting a while. But we're still looking and continually working to find that dream space.
It's an interesting one with spaces, because I've just sort of been in privy to conversations in Cologne as well about spaces. And there are just so many, especially if it's not already set up as a theatre space, there are so many sort of restrictions and things you have to sort of fulfill and boxes you have to tick, that it's really hard to then convert a space that isn't theatre into a theatre space, basically. It's not
very true.
Straightforward. I don't know if it's different in the UK. I don't know, but because some theatres in the UK that I've been to, I think, wow, I don't know how they managed to get it, but this is great. This is like... Okay, yeah.
All the ones in London that are like under the tube lines and stuff, it's amazing. But they're such good sized spaces and really, really cool. And you work with the fact that you hear the tube go over in the middle and it doesn't matter. And you're just like, it's fine. It's great. Yeah, but it's the small spaces that we want. You know, we're not expecting to fill a Schauspiel house, you know. we're just somewhere that we can create, really.
Yeah.
I'm sure it will happen.
Yeah, me too. I'm sure. Well, one of the things we do like to ask our guests who we chat to is one final question. Women in the arts or otherwise, who inspires you?
I am one of three sisters. My mother's mother, my grandmother, was a huge influence on me since I was a small child. She lived to be 100. My father's mother also lived to be 100. Both of my grandmothers were so important to me, and I truly believe they were so full of love and energy and gave us so much as we were children. They built our capacity to dream. They told us we were wonderful and that we could do whatever we wanted to do. And my grandmothers are everything to me.
I would say almost for me, particularly with trying to, well, achieving what I have achieved or I am achieving, has maybe come from the opposite perspective of trying to prove certain people wrong. My drama teacher at school, back at secondary school, very much wanted to encourage me to go and do a drama degree, something theoretical, rather than to go down the practical route. And for me, it was always about the practical route. And I didn't take his advice and I went to drama school. And when I was at drama school, I had a particular teacher who perhaps made me feel like she didn't much believe in my abilities. And just recently, in the last few weeks, she's been in touch with me via LinkedIn to tell me how impressed she is with what I'm doing and that she would potentially like me to come in and guest speak at university. And yeah, and I feel like it's those opportunities that have really almost encouraged me to strive forward with doing what I want to do, to be able to use that as fuel almost to prove to myself that I'm able to do these things and that I'm strong enough. So yeah, almost those are inspirations in itself to say that's helped me to get me to where I am today.
Yeah, I think similarly to Ilya, and I think that people who I've sort of had the pleasure of sort of working with and sort of meeting in my sort of early years of my, again, I keep feeling strange using the word career, but in my work life, I think have been massively inspiring. I mean, we work a lot in quite sort of female-led teams, working with Rosie and Ilya, and a lot of our creatives and our projects are very female-led. You know, the cast of Belfast Girls, and we had two female leads for our production of Romeo and Juliet, and we like to sort of, I feel, explore the kind of nuances and complexities of women in a lot of our work where we can. And I think working with a lot of amazing, you know, female actors and creatives, and also in my course meeting, you know, some of my lecturers and the people that are on my course and all the different things that they're doing, it's just constantly, I think, inspiring and exciting to see what people are doing. So I find it hard to pin on one person. I think it's just an experience of getting to meet people who are pursuing their passion and their dream in, as we've said, a climate that's difficult and requires a continual fight, I think. And it's to watch the resilience and the creativity in that is amazing and really just like so exciting and cool.
And I would just like to add to that, you know, because we're here meeting with, you know, with you two today, and you're incredibly, incredibly strong women, and, you know, doing what you want to do as well and making it work with having this incredible podcast. I just think is so amazing and so inspiring. And yeah, when I think about the other communities in Düsseldorf that we are either part of or really inspire to be part of, including the International English Library, the American International Women's Club, the British Women's Club, the International Women in Business Club, you know, these are all female run communities and associations in Düsseldorf. And yeah, they continue to all be an inspiration to us. And we're just very, very, proud to be a part of that.
Well, thank you. And we're really pleased to have you on our podcast. Thank you very much for taking the time and having a chat with us. It's really great to hear more about your company.
And thank you for having us.
Really, really lovely to meet you.
Toi, toi, toi for the opening of Belfast Girls.
Thank you. Thanks.
And just look forward to hearing what happens next with your company.
Thank you. Yeah, we will certainly keep you posted.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for listening to our Fizzy Chat. If you are a writer, director or actor anywhere in the world and are interested in getting involved, you can find out how to do so on our website fizzysherbetplays.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook to find out what we are up to.